The gospel lesson today is a parable. And with most of Jesus' parables, it usually takes work to understand exactly what our Lord is saying. But today's parable is one of two parables in the Gospel of Matthew that has an explanation. There's no need for any fancy interpretation here. Christ is clear. There are weeds in the world, and there is wheat. There are sons of evil, and there are sons of the kingdom. There is such a thing as a devil, a fiery furnace, and there will be judgment at the end of the age. Reapers will come to separate wheat from the chaff. One goes in the barn, the other is burned. In other words, not everybody goes to heaven. It's a simple parable with a clear explanation, and maybe that's why it's so troubling. Fiery furnace, an active devil, sons of evil, impending judgment. These aren't exactly pleasant topics to think about. And I'm not sure they're intended to be. What they do is compel us to think, just where do we fit into this parable? Are we weeds? Or are we wheat? Are we sons of the kingdom? Possessing that gift of faith? Or is it possible that I am a son of evil and I don't even know it? What does Jesus mean when he says the righteous will shine like the sun? Just what does that word righteous mean? Who does our Lord Jesus have in mind? The wheat in this parable, Jesus is clear to say, they are the sons of the kingdom. They are the righteous ones who will shine in heaven free from sin, death, and the devil. The experience of sin will be no more for this group of people. But the other group, the weeds, the sons of evil, it's a different story. They are consigned to the fiery furnace, replete with weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is important today, as it was for Jesus' hearers in the first century, to determine just what does it mean to be righteous before God? How do you know you're wheat and not chaff destined for the fire? That is a worthwhile question. When it comes to being righteous before God, one way is to simply do everything God tells you. You've heard the phrase works righteousness. Works righteousness, all that means is your righteousness is based on the work you present to your God. For the Pharisees listening to our Lord, any teaching on grace, forgiveness, love, compassion, and mercy, that would have struck them in a disagreeable way. They not only claimed a fierce allegiance to Moses and God's divine law, but they even added some laws of their own. They put traditions of men on the same level as divine doctrine, and they had no tolerance for sinners worse than themselves. If ever there was a group dead set on living life by way of God's law, the Pharisees were it. And so to see Jesus dine and associate with public sinners, to hear Jesus speak about mercy and love, while claiming to be God's own son, that was just too much for them to bear. Jesus Christ was antithetical to everything they believed and practiced, right down to the very fiber of their souls. When Jesus uses the word righteous, he's not talking about works righteousness. That kind of righteousness will not save you from the reapers. That much is clear. But the devil, the evil one, sows sons of evil. And he's very good at his job. He doesn't need modern day Pharisees to make weeds in God's harvest. On the question of how exactly is one righteous before God, you may be quick to say, Pastor, I have faith. And we could even quote that glorious passage from Romans 5, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Christian, how true this is. How true this is. Faith in Christ saves, nothing else. By faith in Christ, the sinner is justified before God, declared to be righteous and forgiven for the sake of Christ and his atoning work, who has called you, redeemed you, washed you. He knows you by name. This is your salvation. Just have faith in this promise. Just have faith. Sounds easy. It's a simple command. And yet, it is one not impervious to the devil's tricks. Having faith is key. How do you know you have it? How do you know you have faith to call yourself a child of God? Here's a rhetorical question. If you say you have faith, would your tithing record support such a claim? If you say you have faith, do you give out of a generous, cheerful, joyful heart, or do you hoard? If you say you have faith in God's promise that He will provide for you, that He will meet your needs from top to bottom, physical, spiritual needs, God promises He will meet them. He gives you His word. If you declare to have faith in that promise, why do you stress and worry when it seems as if these needs aren't being met? Helped any widows lately? Helped any orphans lately? Do not worry. These questions convict me too. And of course, we could simplify all of this in the simple question of, if one claims to have faith, why does sin keep popping up? Let me say this. The devil is also called Satan in Holy Scripture. And most of you probably know what the word Satan means. It means accuser. And he will not shy away from accusing you of your sins, telling you, you have no faith, and then pointing to the fiery furnace. Are you a weed or are you wheat? Are you righteous by way of the law? Or if you are righteous by faith in God, how do you know if you possess such saving faith? People of God, hear me on this. Let me say this. Whether it is by way of the law or looking inwardly at your own faith, both have something in common, and that is this. Both teach you to rely on yourself. Looking at your own works, looking inwardly at your own faith, one is not all that different from the other, because both mean you are looking in at least some capacity to yourself and not Jesus. Not to Christ, who Scripture says is even the author and perfecter of your faith. The one who gives you the very faith to grab hold of and believe in Him. It is your Lord who sows the good seed. He is the sower, giving you the word of His kingdom, giving you the gospel, the good news by which He pronounces upon you His forgiveness, His mercy, His love and compassion to call you His own child. Christ, friends, Christ is the object of your eye. That which faith grabs hold of and does not let go. It is our Lord and our God to whom we are to look, to trust, knowing He is faithful to take you from this world. And when He does, His promise is sure and certain. You will shine like the sun. Your God says this. One day you will shine like the sun. And this promise of life everlasting, this gift, it is yours through Christ. Friends, when you doubt even your own faith, and that happens even for the baptized children of God, when the weeds of this world drive you to doubt even your own faith, don't look at the wrong spot. Look not unto yourself, but in those times, friends, listen to the word of your Lord and your Savior. Listen to the word of Jesus. His comfort, His peace, His promise. Receive freely, passively, His mercy, the forgiveness of your sin that He has achieved for you. Hear the gospel. rest in the gospel. The good news, the salvation is yours, not by your merits and works, but it has been accomplished for you by the shed blood of our crucified and risen Savior Jesus Christ. Rest in this seed, this word that our Lord Jesus sows amongst you. There's another aspect in this parable that I want to touch upon, and that is, it's no secret in this world there are weeds. And we know about weeds. They are tough. If left unchecked, they will overtake an entire flower bed, kind of like mine in my backyard. They're difficult to kill. Our Lord Jesus says those weeds are indeed the sons of the evil one, and they want to take over God's harvest. An evil world wants to suppress the church. The sons of evil have no patience, tolerance, no love for the sons of the kingdom. The psalmist even says, the wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. Psalm 37, verse 2. And so it is, the righteous are always targets for the wicked. This God makes no qualms about. And when you see the weeds around you, living in a world that St. Paul says is groaning under sin and the pains of childbirth, that's the language he uses. You may also find yourself questioning from time to time, is it even worth being wheat? Is it worth being a son of the kingdom in a world surrounded by the sons of evil? Brothers and sisters in Christ, your Lord and Savior Jesus says to you, he who has ears, let him hear. In this fallen world, God's promise still rings true. One day, you will shine like the sun. The darkness of sin that plagues our bodies, the darkness of evil that threatens God's church, will not prevail. When you go to be with your Lord, whenever that is, the sin that ravages your flesh will be no more, and you will shine. You will shine free from age and decay, free from sickness, disease, temptation. Christ has made sure of this promise. Christ has made sure of it. Bleeding, dying, rising again on the third day, testifying to the world that he lives. He has conquered death, and as he lives, you live. This gift of everlasting life, a resurrection of the body, this gift is for you. It is sure, it is certain. Even in times of doubt and worry, God's promises do not go away. This is our hope. This is our confidence. This is the rock upon which we rest. To conclude, the reaping will come. But it is a day the sons of the kingdom and daughters of the kingdom can look forward to. You can look forward to that day because of Christ, the mercy and forgiveness that is yours right now. You can look forward to this day because of your God who is loving, compassionate, and he never forgets his children. Go forth from here, hearing the gospel, the good news that you are declared to be righteous for the sake of Christ, who has taken and paid for your sin, and he sows unto you all the faith you need. Hear this promise. And let us pray that God continues to move us to rejoice in this promise always. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.